6, verse number 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the city, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. "Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." They say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread, and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Now our God is a God of order. This shows you here again that he is a God of order. And verse number 41, "And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now, God did feed the others that were there. There were ladies and there were, I'm sure, children. And so I imagine there was, most people believe he probably fed about 15,000 there, and there were 12 baskets left over. But I will draw your attention to what he said to his disciples in the 37th verse. He said, "Give ye them to eat." You give them something to eat. And that was a pretty hard statement when they said, "Lord, send them out, because this is a desert place. There's no McDonald's. There's no Whataburger. There's no Charlie's. Send them back to the villages so they can buy some food, because it's time to go to bed. It's really time to get something to eat and get ready to go to bed." And so the Lord said, "No, you give them something to eat." When you look at the story, the setting of this particular story, John the Baptist had just been beheaded. The disciples had been sent out 2 by 2, and really had been given the power, apostolic power, to do the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. And so they had done many mighty miracles. And they had cast out the demons. They had raised, like I said, even the dead. Peter and Paul had raised those dead, not necessarily then, but they were going to. So they had the apostolic power, and they came back with all this excitement. But in the midst of that, there was a man named John the Baptist that Herod had killed and had beheaded. And so they took his body, and they really took it from and prepared his body. And they came back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tell the Lord Jesus Christ all the things that had been done, but they also tell him about John the Baptist had been killed. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let's go apart." And so they got into a ship, and they actually sailed to a place that was in a wilderness to get apart, to rest, to get alone. There was some sorrow there, but they were also very weary and very tired. I think it was Vance Hadmer said, if you don't get apart, you'll come apart. And so that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ, he got apart with the disciples. But all those different people saw the Lord, and they followed him. They even went around the edge of the lake there of Galilee and actually followed him to the place. The Lord Jesus Christ comes outside wherever they were in his place. He comes out, he sees these people. The Bible says that he was moved with compassion. His heart was moved towards them because he said they were sheep having no shepherd. He said they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so the Lord Jesus Christ began to teach them many things. Then the disciples said, "Lord, you need to send them away. You need to send them so they can go back to their homes, go back to these villages and get something to eat." The Lord says, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." You ever wonder why he asked his disciples to give them something to eat? The reason. And so he says there, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "Well, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient." We had 200 penny worth. We had a year's wage that would not buy enough food to satisfy the multitude that are here. And he says, well, what do we have? And Andrew finds a young fellow, a little lad that has a lunch. Bob doesn't mention his name, but he has a lunch. He said, here's the lad that has 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And we're talking about probably sardine size. Not big amberjack. Not something big, just a little small sardine size. And Andrew goes on to say, he says, but what are these among so many? Well, in the hand of the Lord, they're a whole host. You see that the Lord took the little lunch of that little lad and fed the 5,000, and yet there were 12 baskets left over. Now look, they didn't go around. I know the Bible says the fragments left over. He was actually breaking that food up, and I'm sure putting it in the baskets. The disciples were taking what he was basically multiplying and taking it to the companies and feeding them. He had them there by ranks. And so there were actually 12 baskets left over. There's 12 nations of Israel. I believe the Lord say I have not only enough to supply, but to supply all that my people need. The Lord has enough. But I want to just draw your attention to this statement where he says, give ye them to eat. You give them something to eat. You know, the Lord always tells and would take an earthly story or an earthly, something earthly, and make a spiritual application out of it. This is a real story. It is something that physically happened on this earth, but it has a spiritual meaning. God wants us to not just know history. He wants us to know what is the spiritual meaning of this story. And so the Lord is trying to train his disciples because there's a reason. What's the reason? Remember, they had lost a great shepherd, which was John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus said of John the Baptist, he was the greatest prophet born of woman. He was the last of the prophets. But he said he was the greatest prophet born of woman. But yet he had been killed and been beheaded. And the Lord had taken 12 apostles. They weren't quite where they should be. I don't know if any of us ever are. But he was trying to train them and help them to be disciples. But out of his compassion, he sees all these sheep. They need a shepherd. But he said they're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They need someone to lead them. They need someone to feed them, to be what they ought to be in their life. And so the Lord is trying to make this application to you and I, what we need, at least what we need as people in our own life. And so I want to just share with you what God put in my heart to share to you. Not just to you, but to me also, all right? First thing I put down, I want you to see that the need for spiritual leadership. The need for spiritual leadership. Now, I spoke to my wife. Me and her went to a funeral yesterday in North Birmingham. Well, in Adamsville, above Birmingham. We left at 8 and got home a little after 8. And in the way back, I was discussing my first point that I'm fixing to tell and preach to you if I can. But she began to instruct me. And she said, you know, you need to make sure that they don't get the emphasis that she got, where it's all on just the pastor. It's all on just the shepherd. And I hope you don't get that. That's not my intent. I hope you see that really the whole intent is for us that we all need spiritual leadership. Do you know this preacher needs spiritual leadership? On the way there to that funeral, my wife was trying to take a nap, and I was listening to a sermon on this particular portion of Scripture by a man that God feeds me often. And so I listened to a sermon, and he said, if you're listening in the car, he said, you need to pull over to the side of the road. He said, and just submit your life to the Lord. I won't tell you, I can't tell you what God fed my own soul by a man that's been dead for probably 20, maybe 30 years. But I'm listening to him, but God just always suspected he was speaking to me myself personally, face to face. God was feeding me so that I might feed you. That's what he's trying to teach these disciples. You need to be fed from the Lord so you can feed others. But my point is that it doesn't matter whether you're a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, or a layperson. You need leadership. You need spiritual leadership. And so I hope you don't just put, you know, something on your neck and say, I'm not going to listen to that. Because we all need it, including mostly this preacher here. And so I want you to give you a verse in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 36. It says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so the Bible says he gets there and he tells them in this verse two things. He said they fainted and they were scattered abroad. The Lord says in this particular parallel portion of Scripture, he says he sees them that they have no sheep. They have no shepherd. They don't have any leadership. And so I looked up the word fainted there in Matthew chapter number 9. It means that they were coming apart emotionally. They were coming apart. It also says, it says scattered abroad. It means they were about to the point of falling spiritually. Do you know a sheep needs a shepherd? Needs a shepherd to lead him to pasture? Needs a shepherd to help him, to guide him? A sheep does. And the Lord describes that every one of his believers are sheep. You say, Brother Saul, I have the great shepherd. I have the great shepherd. But the Lord has placed in his church, in the New Testament age, under shepherds. He's also taken a church and he's gifted that church with individuals, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with gifts, with teachers, with pastors. For what purpose? So that he might teach them, so they might feed them, so they might have leadership, so they might know, so they might grow, so they're not coming apart emotionally, spiritually. They're not falling by the wayside. And so when you look at this, the Lord was trying to teach his own children this. John the Baptist had been beheaded. He was a great spiritual leader. He had led many to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had taught the Word of God, and many had followed him into the kingdom of heaven. But he was beheaded, and so the disciples here were the Lord was trying to teach them. I was the other day, from time to time, we have public television or digital antenna, cable, and usually I'll try to watch the news. That's my favorite pastime as I drink my cup of coffee. But every once in a while I'll flick through, and we have a lot of religious channels. Have you ever listened to some of the religious people that are on these TV religious channels that are on there practically every day? Have you ever listened to them? You ever listened to the content that they give you? Now, I'm not saying all of them. Look, there's many that are on probably Sunday morning. I don't usually see them, but I see them sometimes at 2 o'clock that are good, biblical, spiritual teaching of the Word of God. And they're good to follow. And there are probably maybe some other helpful things on there. But for the most part, what I weed through is really just trash. It's a waste of good mental intellect. It really is. Have you ever listened to what they say? I mean, just listen to the things they say. Next time you learn, I want you to just listen to it and listen to how they talk. If you know your Bible at all, you know that they do not, the apostles, the disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ, none of them spoke the way they speak today. Not one. There is so much spiritualization of the Bible that they missed the emphasis that God is trying to get across. You know what's missing? Spiritual leadership. People are not getting fed. People don't know what the Word of God is, and if they do, they think they get it from someone else that's actually give them their spiritualization of, not give them the true Word of God. Let me give you some verses out of the Word of God. You can even compare, as I begin to read these verses, if you can remember these teachers that are on television, do they even speak this way? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you. What is a pastor supposed to do? This is what Peter preaching to a bunch of pastors. He said, feed the flock of God. That means that we need to eat. I enjoy eating. That's probably my favorite pastime, if you can tell. But you know, sheep need to feed. They need to be fed. In order to grow spiritually, it is a pastor's job, it's a teacher's job, it's whoever's in the place of leadership to feed the flock of God. And if you're a sheep and I'm a sheep, it's our responsibility to feed, to grow. We need to eat. And so we need to hear the Word of God. Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 28, Paul was speaking to a bunch of preachers and he was basically going to be crucified or martyred for his faith. And this is what he said in Acts 20 verse 28. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." What's the job of a pastor? Means to feed. There are different things, bishop, elder, pastor, they all give a different illustration, application of what a pastor ought to do. And so a pastor needs to feed the flock of God. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. I want to just, this is the only portion of Scripture we're going to turn to, but in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I was writing this down this morning in my outline, and as I wrote it down, God spoke to my own heart. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul is training this preacher that he's trained, and he's about to die, but he says, he's giving him some last words of commendation. In verse number 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." You want to know why you ought to get people, the children, in church? You ought to get them so they know and the seed of the Holy Spirit of God is placed in the heart. He says this about Timothy. He said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." How does a person get saved? They get saved by having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's Word begins to teach and preach and tell people that they are sinners, Christ is the Savior, and by faith is how we receive Him. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so you get that from the Word of God. Look at verse 16. "All Scripture, not part of it, not a little bit of it, not just the New Testament, but all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." It's all inspired. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You know, he's talking to a pastor here. He said, you know what you need? You need to learn to feed on the Word of God so you can feed others. Pastor has to have that too. More so than that. Look at verse chapter number 4, verse number 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom." I want you to look at verse number 2. "Preach the Word." He didn't say preach your opinion. He didn't say preach spiritualization. He didn't say preach some book. He said preach the Word of God. He said be instant in season and out of season. That means when it's popular and when it's not popular. By the way, it's not popular today to preach the Word. It's unpopular to preach the Word. It's more popular to have entertainment. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So I ask myself a question. Why is it that Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ ask them and ask every pastor to preach the Word? Won't you put your thinking caps on? The answers are the verses I have read and I probably already give you. First, when a person preaches the Word of God and they hear the Word of God, it'll lead them to salvation. They'll get saved. Paul said, "Thou hast known from a little child the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." Then he says there in the 16th verse, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for right reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You say, what does that mean? It helps guide me. You get saved, we're just babies when we get saved. But we need to grow up. We need to be matured in the faith. We need to know the right decisions to make. We need to know which walk and which way and which will God has for our own personal life. Well, the Word of God is what guides us. It saves us, but it also guides us, is what the Bible teaches here. I want you to look in verse number 17. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Everything that a preacher needs and everything that a Christian needs is in the Word of God. Do you see how much is needful for us as Christians to have spiritual leadership? I'm not talking about just the pastor. I'm talking about feeding on the Word of God. We have people that work for us. Most of them, they're not here today. But I look at them and I watch some of them. Not all of them, but there's a few of them that I watch. And I want to tell you something, I feel sorry for them. I pray for them. But I wish I could impart in their heart what was placed in mine. I had a great heritage. I had a spiritual father. He led me to Christ. They were there, had us in church. When the doors were open, we were there. They put us in Christian school because they had a conviction that we need to have a Christian background. We need to know what the Word of God teaches, not what the world teaches. Even though we had a good education, they knew they had that conviction. I had that poured in my heart. My mother and my father made sure that we were under sound, biblical preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And they introduced me to men that knew the Bible and that could preach the Bible, and I listened to them. And God poured it in my heart, really so I could pour in your heart what I learned as a young man. But I look at these that I work with, and I wish I could put in their heart what's been placed in mine. But I can't. If they would allow me, I could help them. But many of them won't. Because they're really never under the sound, because they don't understand what it means to be in God's house. They don't understand they need a leadership. Every sheep needs a shepherd. And every shepherd needs a shepherd. Not just the great shepherd, but every pastor needs someone to lead him. There's not a person in this room that does not need spiritual leadership. Not one. And starting with his own pastor. But my heart pours out for those people I know, I have compassion. Because I look at them and I knew and I know what God could do with their life and would do with their life and how He would bless it and how He's blessed mine, because just sheer getting under the feeding and obeying the sheer Word of God. That's it. You know, we make the Christian life so simple. I could show you people within this church and the church I pastored before God's blessing on their life. Not just spiritual, but physical and material because of the fact what they did with the Lord. Every one of us need to come and understand we all need spiritual leadership. Sheep having no shepherd. They wonder why they're fainting. They wonder why they're coming apart at the seams. They're wondering why their life is falling apart, but yet they say they're saved. It's because they lack the spiritual leadership in their own life. Let's go to the second point I want to share with you. I would like for all of us to see we all need to be spiritual leaders. We all need leadership, but we all need to be spiritual leaders. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school about David. What God saw in David was what was in his heart. That's what he saw. He had all these other older brothers and all these thousands of men, but David had something in his heart. And I made a mention in the Sunday school lesson, I said, what we need is more Davids. And what this nation needs is more spiritual leaders. This church needs some spiritual leaders. Every one of us are leaders in some way, shape, or form. Every one of us are an influence in somebody else's life. You're an influence, either for good or for bad. But many of the world, people you work with, your children, your grandchildren, look to you for some sort of spiritual leadership. Some of you work with co-workers. And they come to you when they need someone to pray for them. They come to you when they want to know something more about the Word of God. They come to you when there's a question. What are they looking to you for? They're looking to you for spiritual leadership. And all of God's children need to have that type of leadership. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to His disciples and He said, give ye them to eat. What are you going to give them? Apostles, what are you going to give them? And Andrew, faithful Andrew said, well, there's five loaves and just two fishes, but what are these? He lacked faith. He said, what are these among so many? You see what the disciples said, Lord, send them away. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Set them down and feed them. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had what they needed. And He has what we need. But the disciples didn't see it. And the Lord's trying to raise up a bunch of shepherds and spiritual leaders to show them that they can feed if they'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just share with you three things real quick. And I know it's getting close. Three things I think every spiritual leader needs to learn. And that means all of us. The first thing I wrote down is Christ. We need to learn that Christ is all sufficient. Christ is all sufficient. That means He's all we need. He has everything that you need and everything that I need. Christ has it. Let me show you here in a portion of Scripture when the Bible says there. Let's go back, if you would. I'm in Timothy, but if you're back there in Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says, He says unto them, verse number 37, He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, five and two fishes. And then He commands them there. But I want you to look at verse number 42. And they did all eat and were filled. Now here it is, we have 5,000 men, the Bible says, that were fed, that He gives record to. We know there were women, and we know there were children. We know God had a compassionate heart, so we know He fed them too, right? And so we know the Lord fed all of those. Whether it be 15,000, 10,000, or 20,000 or more, the Lord Jesus Christ took that little lunch and He fed every one of them. Every one of them, the Bible says, were fed. They all ate. But it goes on to say, it says they were all filled. Didn't it? Not only did they eat, but they were full. How many of y'all eat to your satisfaction? I mean, to your basically you're just your little need, or till you're full? Most of us eat till we're full. We're satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't just give a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread here. He gave them a full course meal to the point where they were filled. And then the Bible says there were 12 baskets left over. What was He teaching His disciples? That I'm absolutely all sufficient for the need. God is all sufficient. And God can meet the need. He can feed the physical. He can take care of the spiritual. He can take care of the emotional. He can take care of the financial. All through here you see the miracles. Whether it be a physical miracle, whether it be a spiritual problem, whether it be financial, the Lord Jesus Christ has it. I often wanted to impart to people what God showed me about the tithe, about God's house, about giving the tenth, about giving the offering, how God has never failed me. Never failed me. God has blessed me 100-fold because someone taught me what I ought to do. And the Lord has always blessed me. You know what I know? The Lord Jesus Christ is all sufficient. Do I always believe it? Do I always trust Him? No. But I know He's all sufficient. Let me give you number two. Not only that He's all sufficient, but God wants to take what you and I have and He wants to use it. God wants to take what you have and what I have and He wants to use it. This little lad didn't have much. I don't know how many people brought lunches. He was a pretty wise fella. He was playing or had a good mother. I don't know. But somebody had packed him five loaves and two small fishes. But he had, that's all he had. But what he had, he put in the hands of the disciples. The disciples put in the hand of the Lord and fed the multitude. Could you imagine what kind of story he had when he went home? He had a blessed story. He could say, let me tell you how the Lord used me, how the Lord used us. You know, David, if you look at your bulletin, on the front of your bulletin. I don't know how many of y'all looked at it. I think most of the ladies did. This morning, though, it shows a little sling with a rock in it. You know what God used? God used a David with a sling to destroy Goliath, that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. You know what? That's what the whole story of David and Goliath is all about. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Brother, all the earth does know and still knows. Because little old David, God used a sling, used what he had. Old Moses, he had a shepherd's staff. And the Lord said to Moses, 80 years of age, he said, Moses, what's that in your hand? You're just a shepherd. Moses said, it's a shepherd's rod. He said, throw it down. He threw it down, it turned into a serpent. He took that rod that was a shepherd's rod, and God used it mightily to perform miracles, to open the Red Sea, to smite that rock. God used just a shepherd's rod to do mighty things. Really what he was teaching Moses is, whatever you have in your hand, give it to me. I can use it. You know, that's comforting to me because I don't have a whole lot to give the Lord. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about ability. But what I have, if I'll give it to the Lord says he'll multiply it. He'll use it. Let me give you number three and just use it quickly. You know, God wants to use us to be channels of blessing. You know, disciples didn't do the miracles. They didn't take the bread and they didn't break it apart and they didn't break those fish apart. They didn't put it in the baskets. They didn't do any of that. But what they did do is the Lord said, I want you to command those people to get in companies of 50s and 100. And I want you to come from me and I want you to get from my hand that I've already blessed. And I've already broken it. And I want you to take it from my hand and I want you to give it to the people. You know what he was saying to his servants? He said, I want you to be a channel of blessing. You know how you become a channel of blessing? By being a servant. Being a servant. That's what the Lord's teaching every spiritual leader, especially this preacher, that God's all sufficient. The Lord wants what you have. He wants you and me to be a channel of blessing. When I look at this story, there are two people in that. They're the people, and there's the disciples. The people followed the Lord Jesus Christ for a miracle, not for the food, even though that was an added benefit. They followed the Lord Jesus for a miracle, and many of them failed to see him as Savior. When you look at the next miracle, they're in the storm, and the Lord quieted that storm. And the Bible says his disciples marveled, for they considered not the miracle of feeding the 5,000. They consider not the miracle of the loaves because their heart was hardened. They never really thought and really had faith and dwelt on what God had done in the past. Have you ever done that? Dwelt on what God's done in the past to help you for the future? The key was is they didn't really see Jesus like they should have seen him. They didn't have the faith in Christ like God wanted them to have. And so he was directing their heart and their faith to the Savior. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You may be here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I want to ask you a sobering question. But probably the most said